From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The Weber Center for the Performing Arts in downtown La Crosse is having its grand opening this weekend. Its arrival is bringing a much-needed mid-sized theater to the area and helping to strengthen the city's new arts district. There's a sold-out red carpet premiere on Saturday, but if you didn't get tickets on time, Sunday there is a free open house, allowing people to explore the new theater. I got a sneak preview of the plays from Weber Center and La Crosse Community Theater Executive Director David Kilpatrick. He showed me around as workers put the final touches on the building.
Yeah, it's really pretty impressive when you consider the color scheme and the curves and the linkage with the river and the water and the flow and how that's influenced the design. And if you share, of course, you've got this full glass wall that allows you to look at and really enjoy the view. And it's got, when that's your primary decoration point, then everything's just going to link to it. And so you can look around and you can see the curves in the wall decorations. You can see the curves that take place even in the simple railings and the shapes that we went with for the lighting. It's all about trying to capture that organic design, and that let our color scheme, let our shapes, let our feel, and just kind of try to capture so that when you walk in, you're still part of nature and yet ready for something exciting.
Well, even the lobby is amazing. I can't even imagine what the theater looks like yet.
Well, the part of the excitement of going to the theater is also the socialization of spending time in the lobby, visiting with your friends, bumping into people that you know from town and say, hey, how's it going? I'm having a little bit of a drink, enjoying the view, enjoying an art gallery, seeing what's happening, taking care of business that needs to be taken care of, and then heading into the theater. This is all part of the experience. For many, going to the theater starts from when you park your car and you walk towards the building, and as you've noticed when you walked up, there's a signage that indicates there's something special happening inside.
I would almost argue that going to the theater begins with getting ready at home. But
there are those that would say that, yes, absolutely, the decision to get dressed.
Yes, what to wear.
And you'll note that even in this theater, in a very traditional sense, we have a grand staircase that allows you to take an opportunity to not only see, but to be seen, and a chance to show off your new duds when you come that night. And you may laugh at this, but they've been doing stairs in theaters for hundreds of years. If you go to the Paris Opera, the stage is actually one of the smallest parts of that building because it's all about showcasing and meeting and being seen.
Do you mind if we kind of walk around?
Oh,
and
don't.
Why don't we start right here to the right of the entrance we come in, and I'm assuming this is the Black Box Theater.
And our Black Box Theater is actually as a studio theater, which means it's flexible seating. So you can have any kind of seating arrangement. You can put the stage wherever you want. Our very first play in the Black Box is going to be The Dining Room. And that is actually sets in a dining room. And so the stage will be a dining room table, six chairs in the very middle of the room, and then the audience on all four sides. So back here again in our lobby, we're going to have an art gallery space. Now currently our art gallery is just a blue wall. It's Venetian marble.
All right. Should we keep?
Yeah. And then we're going to head into the theater itself. So here we have the grand entrance to the theater.
Wow.
There's 291 seats on the ground floor, 159 seats in the balcony. Our seats are blue because we went with the blue theme, part of our river. But it was also the recognition that, again, trying to be a little bit special. There's several red theaters in town. Even our own theater at Fifth Avenue was red. We wanted something different and blue. You know, the last row of the theater here is still only about two-thirds of the last row of our current theater on Fifth Avenue. So you're going to be much closer to the actors. The actors get to come out into an apron, and so they're going to be much closer to you. One of the things that was important to us was accessibility. And if you'll note, when you walked into the theater, there was no ramps. There's no steps. Somebody who's mobility challenged or in a wheelchair is on the same plane. When they walk into the theater, they can go to the restrooms. They can come into the main theater itself. Let's go to the dressing room.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because that gives me where I get to share how we arrived at what we did.
All right.
This is our dressing room, also known as our green room. Again, from an expansion standpoint, we actually have, you know, rooms for both genders, which includes a shower and a stall and a sink, which is something that we haven't had before. And then we have out here, we have makeup stations. So again, partly it's this multi-use space. So we have a dressing room here that can then serve both our Black Box Theater, our studio space, and it also then serves our main stage.
And then this is the backstage area.
And this is the backstage for the main stage, right. Our scene shop, where we can store some scenery, although we really want to keep scenery on the stage as much as possible, but where we're going to build our sets and things like that.
David Kilpatrick is the executive director of the Weber Center and the La Crosse Community Theater. He showed me around the Weber Center, La Crosse's newest theater. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. It took a little more than a year from the time partnership plans were announced by the La Crosse Community Theater and Viterbo University until the time when the Weber Center for the Performing Arts became a reality. But actually, the La Crosse Community Theater has been planning for the move since it opened in its old Fifth Avenue location in the 1960s. So why is the Weber Center a good fit for the La Crosse Community Theater and Viterbo? Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom sat down with Viterbo University School of Fine Arts Dean Dr. Tim Shore and Weber Center Executive Director David Kilpatrick to find out.
First of all, it's a 450-seat theater, which is special to La Crosse because we do not have a theater that size here. We have the 1,100-seat Fine Arts Center, and then we have the 150-seat Black Box Theater at Viterbo University, and Pump House also has about 140-seat Black Box Theater. But there was nothing in the middle for 450 seats, and there's a special kind of production that are well-suited for 450 seats, special-sized bands, special-sized comedians, and special-sized shows that fit well for 450 seats. So we're filling a niche that we didn't have before here in La Crosse. Some of the other features that are kind of fun about the theater, is that there's a fly space so that we actually can fly sets, fly them in and out. We have wing space so actors can enter from both sides of the stage. And we also have an orchestra pit, which means that our musicians no longer have to sit in the scene shop next to the dusty saw and play their instruments into microphones, but they can actually be playing underneath the stage and with an open space and the view that's going to be there, actually be heard and be an important part of the show.
How about you, Tim?
As part of our strategic plan at Viterbo, we had envisioned expanding our fine arts center in the next several years to include this type of a theater, which I think really generated the discussions about the collaboration and potentially avoiding duplication of two theaters of the same nature being built within a relatively short period of time, and could the community support two spaces like that? Would the arts patrons of La Crosse be able to help raise the necessary funds for two of those kinds of spaces? So for us, that was probably the biggest draw in terms of the practical considerations of accelerating our own timeline for expansion by joining in on this size theater project.
David, I got to ask you mentioned before several times that it has 450 seats. Why not 425? Why not 475? Why zeroed it down to 450?
Interestingly enough, I think that has to do with the law that was passed in 2010, which granted that the property, if a building was built on this property, it would be tax exempt, and the legislation required 450 seats. And that was the number they set, so that was the number we honor.
Will decision-making be done jointly?
Well, it depends on what's going on, because there are still, one of the things that's very important is that Viterbo University will still be presenting the productions that they pick, and they have total and 100% control over their productions. The community theater will be presenting the productions they present, and they'll have 100% control over their productions. And so what's going to be the part of the key is, of course, the management of the space and the scheduling and the finances of the space. And for that, then there was actually a separate organization called the La Crosse Performing Arts Center, Inc., and that is a corporation that's combined with representation from Viterbo University and representation from the community theater, and then also representation from the community. So it's a 7-person board, and that is the organization that will coordinate schedules to make sure that everybody's getting meet their needs and their missions.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Steve Roysom. We are talking about the Weber Center, a new theater venue brought together by a collaboration between Viterbo University and La Crosse Community Theater. And with us is Viterbo's Dean of the School of Fine Arts, Dr. Tim Shore, and the Executive Director of the Weber Center for the Performing Arts, David Kilpatrick. Could there possibly be two productions going on at the same time, one up in the black box, one in the bigger one?
We have the capability and the functionality of doing that. We have designed our equipment and stuff that we actually could make that happen. We're not going to throw that at ourselves at least for a year. We just want to make sure we can manage the facility as we have it. But we have designed it so that that is possible, and that will be a new experience as well. When you come out at intermission and you see a bunch of people and they're not talking about the play you're talking about, that'll be kind of fun.
How is traffic flow in there, getting in and getting out, get to your seats, go out and get to your beverage?
Much better than what we currently have, I assure you. There's primary trying to be one major door for walking in so that we can check your tickets and then you can find your seats. But there are several doors for getting out so that once you've found your seat, then you'll be able to get out and get what you need to be. The box office is centrally located in the middle of the lobby so that you're not stuck standing out in the cold while trying to get into the tickets. And the same thing with Will Call. One of the things that we have upgraded because of this new theater is we made sure we've got scannable tickets. So you'll actually get an opportunity to print your tickets at home, and then you just bring it, and then you scan it. So you no longer have to stand in line for Will Call to pick up your tickets. And we're kind of excited about that. The Fine Arts Center was doing that this season so far, and I know that it's been a reward for both audiences and operations.
One thing I really enjoyed having just most recently toured the theater last week after not having been down there for a while and seeing a wonderful transformation of the space is I think the audience will really enjoy the sense of flow that you experience when you enter the facility. And I think the entrance is really well placed on Front Street and coming from the parking garages. I think will be a really easy experience. But when you enter the space, I think there's a really nice flow because you come into a wide open atrium that obviously has the breathtaking view of the river. The sort of aesthetic finishing with the railings and a lot of other kind of finishing features really capture, I think, the beauty and flow of the river, and in some more obvious and some more subtle ways. And I think that was done really very well. So I think in terms of the audience experience, I think whether someone has been accustomed to performances at the soon-to-be old community theater or any of the Viterbo venues, it will be a unique experience as compared to all of those. So I think the community is really going to enjoy that aesthetic aspect.
Were there details that perhaps earlier in the planning process you both kind of had to concede due to budgetary reasons?
We were very adamant and very strict about sticking with our budget, and sometimes that might have meant maybe a loss of some equipment or maybe an alteration in some of the ways that things are going to be heated and cooled. You set out and you start out with $1 million AC system that's going to be as quiet as they come. And, and you're like, well, that was nice. Now what can we get for what we can afford? And they're like, okay, well, we'll make some adjustments here and some tweaks there.
So. And I think also what's really unique as compared to opening up, say, an academic building on a campus or a new office building is it is a theatrical performance space, which has a whole additional set of design requirements, right, technology demands that are way beyond just, you know, kind of setting up the cubicles in the office space and everybody moves their desk. In particular in the area of technology and mechanics, there's a lot of very sophisticated systems that come into play, and in terms of design, budgets, all those aspects just add a lot of additional planning that just sort of your typical office building wouldn't require.
What if the La Crosse Community Theater puts on a play that may offend the religious sensibilities of Viterbo, a Catholic university?
We actually have to take those audience considerations into account for our own programming. And I would say, first of all, that on the one hand, we do have our Catholic Franciscan affiliation, which is very strong at Viterbo, and it's very much part of our history. On the other hand, we are a university. I think our administration is very supportive of the so-called academic freedom that our faculty enjoys in all aspects of the university, but particularly in production planning, that we understand the difference between fictitious depictions of situations in theatrical works versus perhaps real-life situations. There's a lot of connection and crossover, but that one of the purposes of theater, besides artistic expression, is to examine issues that are relevant for today's audiences, and those can be brought to light with theatrical works that are decades old. And so there's a difference between presenting a particular point of view as representing the university's belief versus presenting an artistic work that allows a diverse audience to grapple with and examine issues on their own terms, because we know every audience member brings their own agenda, their own needs, their own desires to a theatrical production. But as David mentioned, the artistic decisions about programming will not really change, I think, from what they have been in the past in terms of each organization choosing works based on their own mission, their own needs, their own audience. You know, I suspect there is some crossover between our audiences that is likely to increase with sharing the same facility. You know, as David mentioned, we have different considerations when planning. For us, opportunities for our students is a big part of that planning process, but we also have to be really sensitive to audience interest and needs, because we do need to be able to pay for what we do.
And I would say, and the community theater is not going to change its policy and change its process to creating theater and picking plays, and we're very conscientious of the, you know, the community's audience and the community's support, and we're going to stick with that, and that's not going to change just because we have a new location. Yeah. So, you know, we still honor and respect, and I can't imagine there'd actually be a play we'd want to do that could potentially offend 50% of an audience.
I mean, one thing that does change is, you know, some of our productions at Viterbo will now be at the Weber Center alongside the community theater season. And I think up to this point, there has been a history of conversation in terms of planning purposes, because if we both decided we wanted to do a chorus line at the same time, well, that's problematic for the audience. It's problematic for both organizations. We already have those conversations for practical purposes, as both organizations, I'm sure, do with other presenting groups within the La Crosse community. So I don't think really a lot of that will change.
Will this theater be year-round for both of you?
Probably not as much for La Crosse Community Theater, just because there's only so many times we can get volunteers to come together and do a show, and summers can be a little confusing and a little challenging from a schedule standpoint. And I don't know the Viterbo's.
Probably not year-round. Typically in the summer months, a lot of our students they have summer jobs, they're perhaps taking summer school classes, they're maybe doing internships or do summer stock, getting other kinds of performing experiences. Oftentimes that's outside of La Crosse. And traditionally we have not produced any productions of this type in the summer anyway. I don't envision right now that would change immediately. There might be potential down the road for some kind of summer stock type performances that might be a collaborative venture between the organizations, but I think we'll probably just focus on what we're currently doing.
On the other hand, the Weber Center itself may be bringing in different groups or something like that for the summer, because when you've got a beautiful building like that on the river, there's nothing worse than a closed sign during the summer when tourists are in town. So the Weber Center has a charge to make sure that something is happening as often as possible and through the summer. Mm-hmm. But it probably would not immediately, as Tim said, it would not immediately be either Viterbo University or the community theater. But the future is always open to collaboration and growth and learning and trying new things.
How many seats do you have to fill, or however you want to quantify it? What needs to be done to make sure this is a moneymaker and it stays open? And
it's one of those things that there's such a variety of potential for some income streams that, you know, turning to one production and making it, you know, have to have 322 seats or we're going to close our doors is not really sensible. And that's part of the nature of working as a collaborative unit, is that we're not, neither one of us is 100% responsible for making sure that the building is paid for. I mean, we get to work with partners, and also then the quest for other income with the, you know, between concessions and rentals, special events, business functions, and things like that. So mm-hmm. we have a whole plan on how to make it work, and it's just a matter of like any theater building, you got all these plans, and until you actually have shows happening, you're just mm-hmm. not sure where the plans are going to go.
Each member organization still has its own budget
right.
related to producing the productions. Those identities remain as they currently are. And for Viterbo, you know, these are additional performances beyond what we already produce in our Fine Arts Center at the university. So in terms of operating budget, this really kind of goes into the total mix of how we budget for our productions and in relation to ticket sales and all that. So that just kind of goes back into the big pot, so to speak, of our own production planning.
How much money was saved by this collaboration? The planning, the operation of the theater? Has anybody done a cost analysis as to how much money both of you will be saving by this?
Not specific. And the reason is that there's just way too many unknowns. You know, the cost of running an 8,000 square foot building that's 75, 80 years old is quite considerably different than running a 30,000 square foot building that's, you know, 3 months old. I think as Tim had mentioned earlier, the idea of trying to build two 450 seat theaters was just putting that on the backs and the supporters of the cross community. I think that was. So I guess there's your savings is the mm-hmm. fact we don't have a second theater at yet another, you know, $8 to $10 million cost.
Right.
And so that's the initial savings right there. In terms yeah. of operating costs and whatnot, there's a lot of variables.
Yeah, And for Viterbo, with the potential of expanding our Fine Arts Center, if that project moved forward in the other areas that we would want to expand our facilities – taking the cost of a theater out of that would probably, you know, could cut that project's cost maybe in half. So there is substantial savings there in sort of a generalized way.
I'm wondering about the La Crosse Community Theater. Were you folks making money in the last few years? And if not, will this help?
We were. I mean, we were in the black. Of course, you know, community theater, theater in general, performing arts very specifically is never known for being making anybody wealthy. But we paid our bills, met all our obligations, and had a little bit at the end of the year to show for it. So, yeah, we're proud of what's happened the last few years. What this new space we're hoping for the community theater is just expand offerings and allow us to, you know, expand our educational and theater for youth programming. And that's where we're kind of hoping the payoff will come.
Do theaters have a definitive life capacity? I mean, could we be looking for a new theater 30, 40 years from now?
We bought the Fifth Avenue Theater in 1968, and it was about 40 years old then, and we've been there for 45 years. So, you know, that's a 95-year history on that building. This building was designed to be as best as we could, and I would say, no, 50, 75 years, the goal is a 100-year building, and as long as technology can stay up with it, I don't think there's any reason not to.
And our Fine Arts Center at Viterbo celebrated its 40th anniversary last year, and we replaced the seats in our main theater last summer. Those were 40-year-old seats and had actually, I think, lived there 40 years quite well. you know, the facility has aged very well, but that requires a very mindful upkeep, particularly the technology area. There's so many changes that seem to, you know, be very fast-paced and get more and more expensive. But
yes,
that's probably the area that has to be updated the most often. And then there's the normal wear and tear of carpeting and seats and things like that one would expect just like owning a home. So I will be surprised that if there's a dire need for a new theater in the next 50 years, you know, if it's
Any final thoughts, guys?
It's an exciting time to be in lacrosse. There's just some wonderful things happening. I think there's just a lot of buzz and a lot of energy. And it's beyond just this building. I think it's the excitement of what arts are going to do for lacrosse. And I think the collaboration and the model that's being set. I mean, when you get a phone call from a university in Colorado and says, okay, you guys have done it. Start giving us some advice and hints. And I just think that we're looking at some national exposure, and I just think it's going to be – it's just a great time to be in lacrosse, and I'm so glad to be a part of it.
Part of the downtown revitalization that's gone particularly along the riverfront, I think this really completes aesthetically a very beautiful stretch from the Marriott Hotel down to the north end of Riverside Park with the recent developments and some new restaurants and the so-called arts core. I think this is really will have a significant economic impact on the entire downtown area.
Dr. Tim Shore is Dean of Viterbo University's School of Fine Arts, and David Kilpatrick is Executive Director of the Weber Center for the Performing Arts. WPR's Steve Roysom talked with them about this weekend's opening of the Weber Center on Front Street in downtown La Crosse. The La Crosse Community Theater and Viterbo University worked in partnership to help raise money to build the new facility, which will support the missions of both organizations. A sold-out red carpet gala opening is on Saturday. On Sunday afternoon, from 1 to 3, the Weber Center will be free and open for tours. Coming up next, we'll talk with members of the City of La Crosse's Arts Board about what the new Weber Center could mean for the arts community. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.